Welcome to Jab Cross Hook, a fan-sided fight show with your hosts, Ian McMillan, Amy Kaplan, and Reed Wallach.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to this week's episode of Jab Cross Hook, fan-sided fight show. Myself, Ian McMillan, Reed Wallach, and Amy Kaplan back for another week to break down this week's card, UFC 272, big pay-per-view with Jorge Masvidal against Colby Covington in the main event. First things first, we do got a recap last week. Applause to Amy getting her first win in the draft. Well done.
Get the crowd
Reed's
on.
Reed's win streak finally comes to an end. I mean, it was only two shows, so it wasn't that big. But this has now put pressure on me because now I'm the only one of the three of us that does not have a draft win. So I need to end that streak as soon as possible. I'm feeling confident this week. Just to recap how our drafts went last week, and if you are new to the show, what we do in the second half of the show is we have a snake draft, and we draft bets for this weekend's UFC card. Whoever ends up with the best draft at the end of the fight card wins. We all were profitable last week, so that's the first for the show as well. Congratulations to all of us. I did finish last place, though. If I did my math right, I went 2-1 plus 0.87 units. Reed, second place, 2-1 plus 0.89 units. And then Amy, first place, 2-1 plus 1.05 units, if I did my math right. And I think I did. It did kind of come down to that co-main event, Wellington Turman against Misha Sirkunov. I was on Sirkunov. Amy, you were on Turman. Your guy won, and that kind of won you the draft there, even though you were on Bobby Green in the main event. So congratulations. Do you have a victory speech for us? Do you have anything you'd like to say now that you have your first
win? I haven't heard anything. Oh, I'd like to thank the people. No. Actually, I really should thank Wellington Turman, because that's really, like you said, that was the one that got me the win. And I mean, what a win that was. Holy moly. So, you know.
Well, you were all over that. That was like your number one kind of draft pick there. You gave the great insight on Sirkunov maybe not being fit for this fight. And Turman, I mean, it was a crazy fight, but Turman really showed up for you. So, you know, you kind of visualized it. You talked it into existence.
I manifested something. Yeah. People talk about that all the time, and I've never been able to do it, but I think I just did it.
Joining us later on the show, and he is going to be joining us for the draft as well, as UFC fighter Eric Gonzalez. So he will be joining us shortly. First show since the first one that we had a fighter join us for the draft. So there'll be four of us drafting. That lowers my chances a little bit, makes me nervous, especially because the last UFC fighter that did a draft with us went 3-0. So we'll see what happens this week. Before we get into talking about last week's card and kind of setting up the draft this week a little bit, and before we bring Eric on, as always, we are degenerates to a certain extent. We're all having a little drink on Wednesday night. What are you guys drinking? Reed, I'm going to start with you. What are you drinking?
So, this was kind of like a nostalgic play, I guess, because it is a baseball one. But I also don't like IPAs. But, Ian, it's your Bronx Brewery, a heavy hitter in honor of baseball, a hazy triple IPA. Not really an IPA guy, but
a triple IPA. That's got to be a little strong. What's the percentage on that?
Say? I can find it somewhere. It's upside down.
Curtis Calhoun chimes in the chat, says, "Cheers, having a cold one too." Yes.
Yeah,
have a little drink.
Hey. This is honestly pretty good, Ian. I might be in on the IPA. Maybe I got to open my beer palate up a little bit.
I think you do. Like I mentioned, I think on previous shows, I'm a bit of a beer snob. I'll introduce you to some good beers, Reed. Amy, what are you drinking?
So I have a theme going. As you can see, I've got Jorge right here. This is weird to do.
Reverse. Yeah, it's always Jorge, backward on the stream.
Yeah, Jorge's doll here. And I have got his mezcal. I don't know if I'm saying this right. Recuerdo mezcal. Ooh. Here. And I made myself a drink. Now, they send me recipes every now and again, the company. And I went into my archives and I pulled up this. Basically, this is like a smoothie with alcohol in it. It's delicious. I'm going to post the recipe later on Instagram and Twitter. It's really good. And I imagine I will be effed up by the end of this. Great for you guys, because my pics will be all over the place. So, cheers to Jorge and the
Recuerdo. What's in it, though?
So it's mixed berries and orange juice, and then this mezcal, which I'm not a really big like alcohol person, so I'm not 100% sure to explain what mezcal is, but it's not tequila. That I can tell you, because a lot of people think it's tequila, but it's made from the agave plant, I believe. Yeah, agave plant. But it's so cute. I like clear liquor.
I like that.
Yeah.
Interesting. I don't know if I've ever had mezcal before.
Yeah, you've got to try it. It's good.
I'm sure it's delicious. Shout out Jorge Masvidal, who we will be talking about later on the show as well.
What are we got for
I am trying to lose a little bit of weight. So I'm a beer guy. I'm trying to stay off the beers. It's hard to lose weight when you're having like 3-4 beer every night. So I'm off the beer for the first time in the show. Maybe this is going to kind of give me some momentum. So I'm just having a little alcohol or a little alcohol drink here. Gin and a little bit of soda water.
So, okay. I thought you had ice water.
Yeah. I am drinking alcohol. It's gin and a little flavored soda water. So maybe it'll change my momentum up, but I haven't like I'm not like a liquor drinker. I'm a beer guy, so this might just end up with me in a ditch somewhere at 2 a.m. tonight. But hopefully, not. Maybe it'll help with my picks. We'll see. Reactions from this past weekend's UFC Vegas 49 card. Amy, you were there. What are your kind of initial thoughts?
I mean, the card, I think, in general, turned out like a lot better than I had anticipated. I think I said that last week too. Like, I think people sleep on these small cards. Mm. And I think that there's like those fighters that are on the cards know they have to put on a show because everybody thinks that they're, you know, nobodies or whatever. So you tend to get some really good fights on those cards. The crowd was great again. We had a big Russian crowd because of, you know, the main event. Khabib was there. There's always just kind of like a feel in the air when Khabib is around. So kind of made it fun. 2 weeks in a row with Khabib.
Yeah.
Update. I don't know if I'm a gin guy. Just took my first sip. Might not be a gin guy.
Well, let's see. If you have a good draft, though, then you have to stick with it, though. Then it's like that's your winning formula.
That's true.
So, Amy, I'll ask you, though, about last week's fights with Makhachev just rolling over Bobby Green, which I think – I know you ended up drafting Bobby Green in the draft and all that, but I think that was pretty expected, a pretty, you know, easy win for Makhachev one way or another. Are you surprised on this past week what went down with him and Rafael Dos Anjos? And we could get into that maybe in a little bit, but maybe just kind of what's next and what's the future for Islam Makhachev, I guess, from being there. Was there any kind of discussion around that?
Yeah, he definitely seemed like he was ready for the title shot. I felt like it was, you know, his. I don't disagree. I think he's getting a lot of undue hate. I don't know why. I think people are calling him a boring fighter, which is just crazy to me. You win.
Yeah,
you know what's funny? I hate that argument. Yeah, they said the same thing about Khabib for a while. They were like, he's boring. And then as soon as he stops fighting, everyone's like, oh, he's the greatest. He's, you know, it's like, you cannot please the fans. It doesn't matter what you do. So just do you and they'll eventually catch up or they won't. It's like, what can you do? I don't think he's boring at all. I don't think necessarily stepping in short notice would have been the right choice for him. I would have watched it for sure, but I think he needs to be more strategic at this point in his career. He needs to not take those chances with his career. You know, when you're that close to a title, you cannot screw up.
How many fights away is he from a title shot? One, two, more?
Maybe one.
Yeah, I think he needs one high level fight.
Yeah.
Yeah, he needs, let me pull up the lightweight rankings real quick, but I think he needs one real fight. I mean, he was supposed to fight Dariush, if I'm not mistaken, correct? And he backed out. I guess that kind of sets itself up as maybe more, but I don't know. Like, does Michael Chandler really move the needle? No, and he's already booked.
What? But you don't think he moves the needle?
Yeah, what do you mean by move the needle?
Michael Chandler. Well, like,
does that prove he's next in line to get?
Yeah.
Oh, I see what you're saying. I think so.
Yes.
I'd rather see him fight Dustin.
That makes me mad.
I don't know if that moves the needle for me. I guess, I mean, Dariush, of course. I mean, Chandler's now six. I mean, Dos Anjos is right behind Chandler. I thought that would have made more sense. Obviously not on the week short notice, but like a full camp and everything. But I agree. I think he needs at least one more fight before he's next up. I still think he needs like a little bit more of a resume behind him.
And this is all being said. I mean, who knows what's going to happen to Russian UFC fighters in the UFC with everything going on in the world. Yes. So hopefully that gets resolved soon and Russian UFC fighters will continue to fight because obviously they are a big part of the UFC. I mean, there's Russian fighters fighting out basically every single week. Mm-hmm. Do want to quickly mention here before we bring on Eric, the Bellator title fight, Gegard Mousasi against Austin Vanderford. We talked about a little bit last week. Gegard Mousasi won in pretty convincing fashion. Amy, do you have any thoughts on this fight? I have a couple, but I'll let you go first if you have any thoughts.
I mean, if you remember last week, I thought Austin had a much better chance than he clearly did. I don't know what happened. I still believe that fight could have been a little bit more competitive than it was. I don't know if it was like, you know, title shot jitters. I don't know if it was, I don't know what it was, but I still feel like there's something left with Austin. Yeah, that was crazy. I mean, I remember I was watching it and my son was like, he's always like, how many more fights till we can watch whatever, something else, because he never wants to watch the fights. And I said, oh, there's a title fight. I'm like, but it's five rounds, so, you know, it could go a while. He goes to the bathroom, comes back. I'm like, it's over. He was just like, what? So, yeah, it definitely went quicker.
Yeah, I think what weight class? Is he light heavyweight now? Someone just chopped me in the chat, Eagle Eye, he'd be fighting Glover now. He still isn't. Giger at the middleweight still, isn't he?
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah, so yeah, that's what I was going to say. I mean, we should double check that here in a second, but I assume he's still in middleweight. I think he might be arguably the best middleweight in the world right now. You look at the UFC rankings, Israel Adesanya, obviously big argument there. Robert Whittaker, big argument there. But then number two ranked middleweight right now, Jared Cannonier. Is he better than Giger Mousasi? That would be a fantastic fight that I would love to watch. Marvin Vettori, I would put him above Martin. So he's right there, would be like the number two, number three contender in the UFC right now in the middleweight division. Did you look that up really quick, Amy?
I did.
Is he middleweight?
Yeah, I mean, okay. That's what it says on my quick glance. I should know this. I'm ranking for Bellator, but they have them all in front of me. So
okay, so Eagle Eye chimes in the chat and says Habib will be fighting Glover. So now I just don't know what this guy's talking about.
No, I don't know.
Just a big Habib fan. Yeah, I don't think it. I don't, you know, I'm a fan of Habib. I don't think he would fare well against a light heavyweight.
I think it's because they're joking about Khabib getting fat.
Let me
just tell you right now, Khabib, this is going to sound pervy, but Khabib looks better now than he ever has. Like, I see him now and I'm like, oh, he's so adorable and huggable and squeezable and like, I don't know. I like him now.
He used to look so drained.
Is this like his walk around? Is this like his walk around weight? Like this is what he like actually like lives
it's
at?
Probably
like,
you're a little bit higher than his walk around weight. But I mean, we know that he struggled with his weight cuts forever. So he probably like let himself. I don't want to say let himself go because like
no, 100%. Well, I know exactly what you're saying. Though.
Yeah,
he like got himself into his actual like living lifestyle as opposed to, you know, preparing for fights and everything where you're fighting at 30, 40 pounds below what you naturally are.
Right. And he looks great. I think people calling him fat is, it's so sad. Like he's not fat.
Yeah. He's not starving himself trying to cut down to 150 pounds. That's all it is. He's just
like, say you're fat. Say call could be fat to his face. Like, that really happens.
Yeah, I'll pass on that. Tim Urban chimes in the chat, says, where's my boy Eric, future champ? Well, let's bring him in without further ado. UFC lightweight fighter, special guest on the show, Eric Gonzalez. Eric,
hey, my friend, thank you for joining us. How you doing?
Great.
He's got a whole setup going.
Yeah. I have my own PCs because I game it. I use the stream, so I have to have a whole setup for it.
I just got a new PC myself. I think I'm going to start streaming. I used to a little bit, but I might dip my toe back into those waters. Eric, you were supposed to fight this weekend. You had to pull out due to an injury. Unfortunately, you're supposed to take on Devontae Smith. Are you still going to be watching this card, or is it going to be kind of hard for you to watch after all the preparation you went through? And now, unfortunately, you aren't going to be able to compete.
I'm definitely still going to watch, man. That's not going to take away from me watching. I always watch every fight card for the most part if I don't have anything going on. So, yeah, I'll be watching. I'll be watching close. Who knows, man? I'll probably try to take a fight by the end of April, see what happens. You know, I had to get 3 stitches at the bottom of my foot, so that's the reason for me being out of this fight, unfortunately. It was kind of like a freak accident, which is kind of funny the way it happened afterwards. I was really pissed at first because it was like the fight was so close and I really wanted the fight. I'll be watching all the fights. It'll be exciting. I love Fight Night, man.
Can you tell us exactly? I know I already know what happened, but I'm not sure if you're willing to give the details.
Oh, no, absolutely. I was actually training with one of my teammates and he didn't have a mouthpiece in. And we were doing our sparring rounds. So when I went for an up kick, my pinky toe is like right here, right? I hit him with the bottom part and my foot went into his teeth and it stabbed my foot and impaled me into like a deep cut, which resulted in the 3 stitches. It was literally like one of those freak accidents, one in a million that you never hear about. It's pretty gross.
Yeah.
And it was super fucking painful when I got the stitches.
So I have to ask, like when you get an injury like that, where it's like kind of, I mean, it's not minor, it's still painful, but it's minor in the sense of like, you're not going to be out for months and months with it.
Yeah.
Does that suck more than if like, say you had torn your ACL because you were so close to the fight?
No, I think I'd be more torn apart by the torn ACL because I'm longer out of commission than I would. I mean, at least I'll have like a 2-3 week recovery and then I'm back into the gym. I mean, I'm already starting to slightly walk on it. I had the stitches removed already. So, I mean, that's a positive thing. But at this point, I just got to wait for the actual cut to close up. But no, to answer your question, I'd prefer this to happen than over a torn ACL or something super serious where I might have to get some surgery or some kind. And who knows if I'll be the same athlete afterwards.
Yeah. Yeah, and Eric, you said that you watch like most fight cards and that you enjoy them. I think it's awesome that I know on like the UFC broadcast they post like tweets from different fighters and stuff like that they're watching and tuning in. Are you, I guess, like not prepping for the fight cards, but trying to see like, all right, I think this guy's gonna win. I think this woman's gonna win. Like, I see like the grappling as an edge. Are you like almost scouting the fights even like casually as your guard?
I don't dive too deep into the fighters when I watch the fights, unless it's like a lightweight, then I will do my some more research on them just because it's a potential opponent that I can have. But yeah, no, I watch all the fights. I start from the preliminaries all the way to the end. I mean, mostly just because I mean, you know, it's my passion, so I just love joining and watching it. And I do I like watching the fights. If I don't know like the fighters and their background for the most part, I've never seen them fight. I just, you know, I'll just go off of what I see, and then you can pretty much tell like who will have a more superior grappling for the most part, or who's a better striker, more comfortable in certain areas.
Yeah, definitely.
What do you think of his new opponent, Ludovic Klein? How similar or different is he than you? He's obviously preparing for you, so how do you think that's going to play out for him?
I saw that he was a featherweight, so he's actually that Ludovic, I believe, is a featherweight because he's ranked under featherweight.
Yeah, he's coming up.
Yeah, so he's coming up a weight class. So I think Devontae's just gonna have a huge edge on him. I mean, if he's preparing for me, he's preparing for he's probably preparing to you know finish it in the first round. Considering all things, Devontae is a first round guy. I don't see Ludovic. Sorry, my dog is. I don't see Ludovic winning this fight, in my opinion, just because he is moving up a weight class. But if he does, it's huge for him.
Yeah.
By the way, don't worry about the dog. Cats have become a common theme on this show. Amy's had cats show up in the background. I've had my cat show up in the background. This is a pet-friendly show over here, Eric. So.
I just got a Belgian Malinois. So nice. she's been kind of a handful. She's in my 3 months right now, but she's super calm and pretty. She's pretty chill for the most part. Just sometimes I got to make sure I look over and see what she's doing, so she's not getting into the litter, my cat's litter or something, or shooting up a wire that she shouldn't be.
Now your first fight in the UFC was against Jim Miller on short notice. How different was that, having to fight a guy on short notice? Would you ever consider doing it again?
Hell yeah. I always consider that. If anyone has kept up with my career, in Cobate, I fought month to month fights. I fought 3 fights in 1 night in Peru, where I made it to the finals and I made it to the last fight. So to me, man, short notice fights are, I'm always up for it. Considering how the whole thing with Jim Miller's, I came off an injury with a fractured toe. So I was actually just getting back to the gym when they called me, but I was not going to pass up a UFC chance opportunity. So, I mean, yeah, I would definitely always take a fight. And now I'm actually more walking around and lower weights because of, considering that I'm in the UFC, now I have to be ready for it at all times.
Yeah, I would imagine after fighting 3 times in 1 night, fighting on like 7 days notice, it seems like a breeze out of that, eh?
Yeah, Def, I think after just having 1 fight as opposed to 3 is a lot easier. No doubt about that.
Now, for sure. Correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't at one of your fights, the judges gave the decision to somebody else, and it was clearly your win.
Everyone
started throwing beer and stuff. I remember this. Correct. I remember this because we were with beer.
I believe that was when I fought Danny Ramirez, and we fought twice. So the first time I lost to a decision, and I literally chased him down in the third round. I dropped him, and then I was literally the one just pressing forward and just really giving it to him. And somehow I think what it was is the judges. We both had white shorts, and we had a similar haircut. And we both had tattoos around the same area. So I really think the judges just got us confused because we were both Hispanic and we're both brown, you know, Latino. And I could see why, even like when I rewatched the tape, I was like, okay, I could see why a judge could get, give around to somebody else thinking it was them or that. But I mean, yeah, that was just super, that was a super unfortunate result. But I was, there was beer that got thrown at me. It's not the first time that's happened to me. It happened in Mexico when I fought in Guadalajara. I had to get escorted several fights out in down south from the promotion just because people were pretty hating on the taking out their hometown guy.
Yes, Eric is a very boisterous fighter, I guess is the right word. Like, he's very vocal and like showy and like, you know.
Yeah, I like to give people a show. I like to be entertaining. Yeah. You know, that's I feel like as a fighter, you have to be entertaining, or else you don't want to watch you. And that's just, you know, just facts. What you see all these guys that are growing so quick or making a name for themselves quick on top of getting, you know, really dope knockouts, which is, you know, a key to this whole thing of getting bigger quicker.
Yeah. And hopefully we get to see you in the octagon soon. I mean, you know, hopefully this, you know, the stitches heal quickly and we get you back in. I think you said April. So hopefully soon. But we're talking short notice, and obviously I think outside of the main event, everyone's talking about Moicano coming in on a week notice, fought the last UFC pay-per-view, and now he's taking on Dos Anjos, also in your weight class. Mm-hmm. What do you think about all of that? Obviously, COVID notwithstanding, and you know why Fazeev had to come out of the fight, but what do you think about someone taking it that week, short, basically no camp, I guess, you know, Moicano had a second round finish, so not necessarily a full fight, but what are your thoughts on all that? Because I believe it's still staying at five rounds.
You're talking about the RDA fight? Sorry.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's co-main, right. So
Yeah. I think it's risky, but I mean, if you take out RDA, man, that's a big step for you as a fighter. So it's not smart any to take any like kind of short notice fight for the most part, you know, but if he's already in fight camp, if he was already training, then I don't see any problem with it. You know, it's kind of hard to prepare for RDA because he's so good everywhere you take it, you know, whether you want to strike with him, he's gotten a lot better with his striking, and he's especially on the ground, man, he's insanely good. So, it's dope that someone stepped up to it, in my opinion, you know, all the power, more power to him, you know.
Now we're going to transition to kind of the main portion of the show here, the bet draft. Eric, have you bet on any UFC fights in the past? Do you have any experience doing that?
I have not actually. I bet like with my friends. You know, we watch the fights together. Other than that, I don't really take any bets like as far as, you know, like Vegas odds or anything like that. But it's something I would want to do. I just haven't got into it yet.
Well, you have big shoes to fill because you're the second UFC fighter that's going to participate in the draft here. Jeff Molina was in the first episode and he went 3-0. So,
okay.
No pressure.
There you go.
No pressure.
He crushed it. Really he talked a big game and backed it up with a 3-0 record. It was very impressive.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I got some big shoes to fill then.
Yeah. Yeah. He crushed us. If you're not aware. Oh,
can I? Sorry, was that Amy? I'm going to interrupt.
No, sorry, go ahead.
Can I talk about the girls?
Yes, go ahead.
Yes.
Okay. So normally I do this after the draft because I don't want to give you guys any insight, but I didn't want to wait because I'm so excited. So there's two girls on this card fighting, and I butcher both of their names, Marina Moroz and Maria Agapova.
Sounds like good. Okay.
That was strong. Maybe.
They really hate each other, like really, really, really hate each other. So the backstory is that Moroz went on a Russian interview site and told this story about, I'm pulling that up, some keywords up here. She called Agapova a junkie in terms of drugs. She said that she threatened people at the gym and that she wanted to stab them. She said that she stalked a pregnant woman and wanted to stab her. She said that she crashed her car in a drugged out state and that she was kicked out of two gyms. So those are some crazy words.
Wow. So they don't like each other.
Yeah, they don't.
Is that
like
what you're saying?
Yeah. And I spoke to Agapova after her last fight and asked her kind of like, can you respond to this? And I've got that video of what her response is. I want you guys to watch.
You called someone out in the octagon, and I'm curious if you can, you said she was talking some trash. I was wondering if you could kind of elaborate why her exactly?
She just jealous. First she jealous, second she sneaky, and she trying to destroy my career. I lost sponsorship because her interview and got to really big trouble situation. And I would like to punish this bitch because she trying to destroy my career. I want to smash her.
Is this someone that you knew personally? Were you training together? Or?
Yeah, we was training together. We was teammates. And after I left, like, she started lying and talking shit about me. And I lost a lot of sponsorship. Like, I lost fans. Like, that was not nice. that was super sneaky, because I left not because I was drug addict and like treating someone with a knife. I left because I just have argued with some guy, and I left. Like, it's, she just talk shit about me. She liar, and I just get pissed off. And she also cheat my manager on money. My manager Alex, he's super good person. He's super nice, and she cheat my manager on money. She fuck him up. And she not really good person. I would like to beat her ass and smash her face.
Do you, why do you think she's saying these things about you? Was, you know, was there something between you guys, or was she trying to just get a fight, or what do you think the motivation is?
I think she just trying to put me down because I left, I have trouble with my healthy, and she just use it like my weakness to put me down, to destroy my career. And this is super sneaky and not nice. Like, now I'm good and I call her on fight. So if you want to talk shit, so be ready to answer for your words.
I'm scared.
Yeah, that.
She's
so excited for this fight.
That's going to be a bloodbath right there, I have a feeling. Oh. So I don't think she's going to try to submit her. I think she's going to legitimately try to beat the shit out of her.
Yeah, that's like the theme of this whole pay-per-view is like personal beefs, like legitimate hatred for one another. You know, obviously the main event, which we haven't even discussed yet, but we'll get to that, I imagine, when we get to the draft.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just thought I wanted to share that with you guys because I think people are sleeping on that fight for sure. Nobody really knows about it unless you're like really, really deep into it.
I think
it's crazy.
All right, so that's going to be interesting if anyone's going to pick anyone in that draft. Maybe we'll end up having a head-to-head. But speaking of the draft, let's get into it. Just to recap for anyone who's watching who hasn't watched a previous episode, and for yourself, Eric, as well, it is a bet draft. We have three rounds, so it'll be three picks each. It will be a snake draft. You pick any fighter, and that fighter will get added kind of to your list, and it'll be based off the odds. So obviously if you pick a favorite, it's going to be a little bit of a safer bet for you, but if it does win, you won't get the reward quite as you would as you were betting on an underdog. It'll be three rounds. Eric, you are our guest, so you are going to go first, and then Amy, you're going to, because you won last week, you get to announce the order after that. We'll get to that in a second, but it starts at snake. So Eric, you go first, us three, whoever goes last will then have the first pick of the second round, back down, and then up one more time for the third round. The first round is prelims only. So first round, prelim fights only, and then you can pick main card fights in the second and the third round. Did I leave anything out? I think that's it.
I think you got.
Reed, you're what, 2-0 or 1-0? 2-0, 1-0.
What do you mean?
In drafts. How many have you won? Or I guess it wouldn't be.
I won two.
You won two. You've won two. Amy, you've won one. Jeff Molina won one. I'm still winless.
But I want to point out, Jeff Molina, if I remember correctly, picked all favorites. I, on the other hand, picked all underdogs. So therefore, I still am better than Jeff Molina.
He did go 3-0, though. You went 2-1, to be fair.
Okay, fine, but.
But yeah, Amy, you do get to pick the order here. So Eric's going to go first. Where are you going after that?
Okay, and then I'm going Reed. No, sorry. No, then I'm going Ian.
I'm going Reed. Little fake out there.
Then I'm going Reed. Then I'm going last.
You want last? You're giving yourself last.
Because I
want
to go first for the main card. That's my
idea. Interesting strategy.
Yeah. I like that.
That's good strategy there.
All right, Eric. Any questions?
No, that was pretty self-explanatory. You guys cleared it all up.
Perfect. So with the first overall pick, you are on the clock.
For the prelims, I'm going to pick, I could pick any fighter, right? From the prelims, you said?
Mm-hmm. Any fighter.
All right. I'm going to do Jalen Turner, winning over Jamie Malarkey.
Your dog loves the pick too.
I knew you were going to pick Jalen. I should have known.
I actually got to spar with him, over during this camp, and the guy's a fucking beast, man. He's definitely a hard guy to figure out. So it's going to be a fun watch.
So Jalen Turner off the board, +130 underdog to Jamie Malarkey. And I believe that is the prelim finale, correct?
Yes, the featured prelim.
All right.
That was on my board as well.
I like the pick. I think I'm up. I think I've gone last every single other draft. So I'm a little bit out of sorts here getting to pick second. All right. I'm going to go the guy who was supposed to be your opponent. I'm going to go Devontae Smith. Your dog loves that pick as well.
Yeah, I'm gonna go ahead, guys. Sorry.
No, it's all good. I'm going to go Devontae Smith minus 170 here. I think this fight is – I think both guys are going to stay on their feet. I think it's going to be two strikers. Smith has more favorable numbers if you look at statistics basically all across the board. 5.1 significant strikes per minute compared to Klein at 3.35. Also better grappling numbers, 54%. This is a significant strike defense. He has 54%. That's 9% better than Klein's defense, significant strike defense of 45%. And then on the grappling standpoint, better numbers as well. 100% takedown accuracy Devontae Smith does. To be fair, he's only attempted one in his UFC career, so he's 1-for-1 with takedown attempts. And a takedown defense of 80%. Klein has his takedown accuracy rate of 44% and takedown defense of 50%. So I just threw a lot of numbers out there, but I like Devontae Smith in this matchup. He's minus 170, so he's a little bit of a chalky favorite. But I just want to get a win on the board. First pick in the prelims. Eric, if you were fighting him, I would not be making this pick. I want to make that clear. But I will take Devontae Smith minus 170.
I've got a funny Devontae Smith story. I'll make it really quick. I was in Florida and I had like a two hour layover or something. We were driving from somewhere in Florida and he was training there and I wanted to do an interview. So I was like, hey, let's do this interview. Let's meet at a Starbucks. He's like, okay, cool. Send me the address. I just picked a nearby Starbucks because I didn't know the area. I pull up. It's a Starbucks in a hospital. Oh. So we did the interview in the waiting room of a hospital.
Nice. That's funny.
Which was a first for me.
Also, by the way, not to state the obvious, but this is not Philadelphia Eagles wide receiver Devontae Smith. Different Devontae Smith.
Yes. He does not.
That would be impressive, but no. Who?
Jamie, who's?
Yes.
I'm up?
Yeah.
Okay. So based on that video, it's tough to lay off of Agapova, who there was a typo in the back end. She's actually the favorite, and I'm going to go Ian's path here and also take a favorite to get on the board. So I'm going to go Maria Agapova. I actually liked her a lot in her first fight, and then she called out Shayna Dobson and, like, completely gassed out, like, exhaustion in the second round. She tried to, like, basically run her head off, like, literally, like, take her head off in the first round and gassed out. And lost in the second round. It was one of the biggest upsets in like recent history. I like her though on the comeback. In her last fight, she actually looked really good. And just based on the video, she is not a happy camper. She is really pissed off. So I think she's going to come in here and try and run over Moroz. I like her. She's actually a minus 200 favorite, but I still like her to get on the board and pick up a victory. So I'll go Agapova first round.
Okay.
Well, I kind of screwed myself now. Because you guys picked all three that I had set aside. Okay. All right. I'm just going to go safe. I'm going to go Nurmagomedov. I got my safe one. He's like, what, the biggest favorite in the card?
Yes.
Yeah, he's a massive favorite.
Yes.
So I'm going to do my safe pick, but stay tuned because I'm going to be
playing
this. This is my, like, Hail Mary pick. And I guess it's my turn again, right?
Yeah, really quick. I do think some of the odds we had listed might have been reversed, though. So we're going to double check that. I think Jalen Turner might have been the favorite. We'll double check that. But Amy, go ahead with your second pick.
I'll double check them as we go.
Okay.
Okay, double check them. Okay, so I think you guys know, based off what I'm drinking, who I'm going to pick for my main card. It's going to be.
So that's why you want it first.
It's going to be Masvidal, yes. I had to have Masvidal. I know that, like, on paper, Colby sounds like the safer bet. Colby sounds like the one that is, like, you know, he's the better fighter. I'm sorry, he is the better fighter. But today at Media Day, the way their, like, body language was and everything, like, Jorge just seems a lot more relaxed. He's not taking it as personal. I know that sounds crazy because of all the shit they've been talking, but he's like, it's just a fight. Like, I just want to fight. Mm-hmm. I don't like the guy. I'm not going to ever like the guy, but, like, it's just a fight. Whereas Colby is so focused on the fact that he hates Jorge. I think he's going to get distracted by that. I think he's going to make mistakes. I think he's going to be, like, wild. I think he's going to be nervous because both of them, if Jorge loses, I don't know. It's like not as devastating to, but to Colby, like hit to himself, I feel like he will not be able to recover. He'll be so embarrassed. Jorge will be like, whatever, and just carry on with life. Like, you know what I mean? He's just cool as a cucumber. So I'm going with Jorge.
Do you have any thoughts on how the fight's going to, like, are you thinking finish? You're thinking Masvidal just touches him up for five rounds and wins his, like, how do you see the fight playing out?
I don't see it going to a decision. I see it finished, but I don't know how. Maybe TKO. Maybe something wild, like a flying knee again. I don't know. Something crazy.
I could see, I feel like though Masvidal, he used that already, you know, like I feel like Colby knows, like, okay, he's going to try something. I got to, like, be on my P's and Q's against him. I feel like you only get one shot at those, you know?
Yeah, I can agree with that for sure. I got go ahead, guys. Sorry.
No, go ahead.
So, like, during the drafts and stuff, are you guys, like, allowed to say who you're choosing to, or is it, like, that takeaway from your pick?
You could go the other way if you like someone.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, I mean, when it comes to the main event, yeah, I think we can just kind of discuss it.
Gotcha. I have Masvidal definitely winning that fight, in my opinion. I think Colby's going to be a big problem, though. I actually see it going to a decision as my guess, just because Colby's got a gas tank, and then Masvidal is, hey, sorry. And, you know, Colby's got a great gas tank, in my opinion. I mean, we saw him, what he did with Usman. Yeah. You know, he took the five rounds and still had more to go. But I think that I just don't see it going. I just don't see a finish happen. I really just see a decision possibly happening, because they're both dogs, man. I think they're both equally matched, in my opinion. I don't think one is better than the other.
Well, that makes me feel better about my pick.
I don't think anyone's going to be taking Colby at this point, just because he's such a big favorite. If he does, then I guess we can kind of touch on him again. I'm not taking Colby just because he's this big of a favorite, but I think he's going to win this fight easily. I just think stylistically his wrestling is just going to be too much for Masvidal. I mean, I'll be cheering for Masvidal. My heart wants Masvidal to win, but I don't know if I'll be able to put my money behind him.
You know, I don't like too today that Colby called John Morgan fatty, flabby, but like, it's so mean. It's so mean. And I like John, and I think John's really respectful. And like, I don't know, like when Sean Strickland was kind of like joking around with us about like being fat and stuff, like he was doing it in like a nicer way. Like, I don't know how to explain it, but it just felt very like, I don't know. I just didn't like it. So I can't pick him. I pick with my heart.
Yeah. I think I'm with Ian on this one though. I just think Covington kind of has Masvidal covered. I just feel the wrestling is a little too much. I think that these guys really hate each other, but I just, again, we've seen, to me, Covington is, if it wasn't for Kamaru Usman, Covington would be the best welterweight in the world. So it's, and we've seen Masvidal just get ruined by Usman. So I just think Covington's a little bit closer to Usman than he is to Masvidal, if that makes sense. That's my kind of logic. That being said, minus 300 or so, that's way too high for me. Because like, to me, I see Covington winning a decision. I don't see him knocking out Masvidal.
Yeah, I don't see that either.
If this is going to be... You go, Ian.
No, go ahead.
Yeah, I think I'd rather look at like a prop, like Covington to win by decision. I think that's where most of like the percentage of his win is going to come. This is like a crazy line, in my opinion. I think they are much closer. I just think Covington is better. Like, he should be the favorite.
A lot of people have been saying the same thing. They think that Colby's he's just a better fighter. I personally don't think that, but that's just me.
You are the professional.
And I think, Masvidal, I mean, he knows Colby's a good wrestler, so there's no way he hasn't picked up, you know, hasn't been training his wrestling nonstop, his defensive takedowns. So I could, like, you know, I just don't see that happening. I think he will get taken down a lot, though.
Oh, yeah, there's our first
round. Yes. Yeah, there's our first round. Quick correction on Jalen Turner's odds. He is actually the favorite. We had it on our sheet incorrect. Jalen Turner, the minus 160 favorite against Jamie Mullarkey. Still a good pick. Regardless, that makes a little bit more sense. I was a little bit surprised when I looked at the sheet and saw that Jalen Turner was the underdog. So he's a minus 160 favorite in that fight. I think we got the other odds correct, though, Reed. Did you double check?
Yes. Sorry about that.
No, it's all
good.
You are
fired.
Yes. Actually, it's not all good. You're fired immediately.
It's Reed's turn, right?
It's back to me, though?
Yeah.
Back to you, Reed. Yes.
Okay. So I took a favorite last time out. I'm going to go main card Edson Barboza this time around. Small underdog. Yeah, I had a feeling that was going to be a popular pick.
Oh,
so
you sniped me.
Yeah. I like Barboza. I know Bryce Mitchell has the great record and everything, and Barboza is more of a journeyman, but I really like Barbosa at the new weight class. I know he's off a loss to Chikadze, but Barbosa has a really – he's huge for this weight class. I think he has the reach. I don't think Mitchell's going to be able to just take him down at will like people are expecting. I think Barbosa – I could see a bit of a run out of him in this division. So I'm going to take a stab here at the short underdog. I think that this fight's closer to a pick in my opinion, so I like the value there.
Listen, I was going to take him on with the very next pick. I'm shocked that Barbosa is the underdog in this one. I know his record hasn't been great as of yet. But, I mean, Bryce Mitchell, undefeated, 12-0. But his best win is against Andre Feely. Now, no disrespect to Touchy Feely. No disrespect, but, I mean, this is Edson fucking Barbosa. Like, this is one of the most scariest, dangerous fighters in the division. And I know that Mitchell's obviously submission artist, one of the best submission guys out there in the division. But Barbosa is an underrated wrestler, takedown defense of 75%. And Mitchell's takedown accuracy is only 46%. So he might struggle getting the fight to the ground if that's where he wants to take it.
It's a much bigger guy, too.
I mean, I think as long as he keeps that pressure, keeps him on his back foot, gets the cage, cuts off his angles, he'll be able to close the distance. You know what I mean? I think he's probably going to dive for like a really maybe desperate takedowns, possibly just because Barbosa is just such a good striker. So it's really hard to get close to him. And he's got phenomenal footwork. It's going to be a tough fight for Mitchell for sure, without a doubt. But I definitely have Barbosa winning that one too, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially as an underdog.
There you go. We want to hear that. And then, so Ian, it's back to you for just one.
Yeah, just one. Yeah. So I'm going to go. That really threw a wrench in me there. I'm going to take an underdog as well, though. This is kind of my backup here. I am going to take the short notice fighter here, Renato Moicano, +140. Against Rafael Dos Anjos. Don't have a lot of reason for this, except for that I think the fight should be closer to a pick'em. Sometimes I think these short notice guys who fight on short notice get undervalued from a betting standpoint a little bit. But when you fight short notice, Narek, I think hopefully you can support this. Maybe I'm wrong and you just completely disagree with me when I say this, but I feel like the pressure might be off a little bit because it almost feels like you don't quite have as much to lose because nobody really expects you to win when you're stepping in on 5-6 days notice. Mm-hmm. So I feel like you might be able to fight a little bit more stress-free, maybe. I mean, he's warm. He just fought a great fight a couple weeks ago. Eric, is that true at all? When you fight short notice, do you feel like a little bit less pressure?
Yeah, I agree. You're taking a short notice fight, man, and little to none time to prepare. When I took my short notice fight against Jim Miller, I didn't feel like any pressure. I think the pressure mostly came in like when I actually saw him, because I knew he was a freaking legend, in my opinion. You know, he's a veteran.
Yeah.
But it is definitely less stress because you're not focused on, you know, his pros and cons. You're just kind of focused. You're just there to fight. You know, you're there to show up and put up a good fight. But yeah, definitely, I wouldn't underestimate any short notice fighter. You know, you see some crazy stuff happen in the fight game.
What about the fact that he has to travel from – he just flew from here to Brazil and then literally turned around and came right back. Like, that's got to take a toll on your body, no?
Maybe some jet lag. but, I mean, that's hard. What was it, 10 days you said, or 8-day notice?
No, like 2 days. Like yesterday.
Yeah. Oh, it was 2 days. Okay,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, he's not even in Vegas yet, I don't think.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Maybe he's landing like I mean,
there's not much time for him to go and actually go – you know, gain too much weight. So, I mean, who knows if he's coming? I mean, like you said, he's coming off a fight. So he got there and he came back. So he's already in fight shape. It's not like he's not in fight shape. He's not like they called him and he's just sitting around in his house. You know, he was literally coming back to his hometown. So, I mean, he's fight ready. So, I mean, that's the best thing I can give. I don't think it'll make that much of a difference when it comes to the jet lag or, you know, having to fly there and fly back, because I've never experienced that. I've flown to places, but I've never had to go there and back, like, just to get another flight, you know?
Before we move on really quick, I do want to shout out some people in the chat here. Tim Urban says, I see Colby winning off his wrestling. This is just a few takes about the main event, which we were just touching on a couple minutes ago. He does want Masvidal to win, though. And Eagle Eye said, Jorge doesn't have the gas tank to keep up with Colby. We saw him gassing bad in the Diaz fight. I don't know if I necessarily agree with that. And with Colby trying to take him down is going to gas him even more. We'll see. We'll see. But now, Eric, you have two picks here, the last pick in the second round. And because it's snake draft, you'll be taking your next, your final pick right afterwards. So hit us with your first one.
And you could take people on the prelims if you want. You could now the whole card is open.
The whole card is open now. So prelims or main event. Anyone who hasn't already been selected.
Let me see. For the main, I'll choose one for the main card for now. I'm honestly going to go with Greg Hardy on this one. To be honest, I think he's coming off a loss, if I'm not mistaken. So he's coming off a loss with Ty, and I think that he's probably going to make some adjustments for this camp. I'm not too sure. I haven't dug deep into him, and I know he's in the underdog for this one, if I'm not mistaken, right?
He's
the underdog.
Yes, he is a +170 underdog in this one.
Yeah, I think that coming off that hard loss, he's going to be more motivated to fight, hopefully, differently and more technical, instead of trying to throw some bombs. I see it finishing with a knockout, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, hey, at the end of the day, Greg Hardy's an athlete, former NFL player. These kind of more athletic guys, you usually see them, and we have seen them in his career as well, usually looks better each time that he's in the octagon. So that big of an underdog.
Speaking of him being an athlete, today at Media Day, he said that he believes he is the best athlete on the planet. If not number one, then he's number two.
Who's number one?
Did he say who number one would be?
He doesn't know.
TBD on who is better than him, but there might be one.
some just unknown person in the middle of nowhere might be a better athlete than him.
I haven't met him yet.
Yeah.
So right before you give your last pick there, Eric, let's recap round two.
So all underdogs that round.
All underdogs round, Amy, Jorge Masvidal, Reed, Edson Barboza, myself, Renato Moicano, and Eric took Greg Hardy. Yeah, all the under, and we went all favorites first round. So interesting turn of events there. So Eric, final round, first pick of the final round, your final pick of the draft. Who do you got?
It's a lot of people that I didn't know on this card that are, personally.
A lot of fights. They jam-pack the fights for sure. They try to get as many as possible.
So I'm going to just go with another main card pick just because I'm not too familiar with all these other fighters. Once I see them this weekend, I'll be looking more into them. I'm going to go with Kevin Holland against Alex.
Okay.
Just through the fact Yeah, it's a safe pick, and I just think that he's just going to be overall better, and I think he's going to end up finishing with the striking, and considering that Kevin Holland obviously has been putting in work on his wrestling, if he hits the ground, I think he'll be more than prepared this time around. He's all about making entertaining fights and improving himself as an athlete, so I definitely think that Kevin Holland is just going to definitely win that fight easily.
He is coming down in weight, right?
I believe so, 170, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he is. It's 170.
Yeah.
Yeah, this feels like it feels like Holland he went up in class, right? Like in terms of like the people he was fighting, and he couldn't handle that type, the Derek Brunsons and stuff. And now he's coming back down to face kind of an Oliveira who might be on his way out, honestly, a little old, on a bit of a skid here. So I totally see Holland. This is kind of like all right, get right. Let's get you some positive momentum going and try and build you back up.
Yeah.
I think the line is right. I think he's, rightfully the big favorite.
Yeah, Alex Oliveira's lost 3 straight, 2-6 in his last 8 fights. So
wow.
Kevin Holland is a -300 favorite for a reason.
But he said today he's coming to bang.
Alex Oliveira said that?
That's what he said.
I don't know if that's smart. I don't know if that's smart against Holland, I think Holland might get to his head too, because Holland's crazy, man. That guy just speaks to you in the middle of a fight and just really gets in your head, I mean, it's actually really – that's why I love watching him, but I just don't see Alex winning that fight at all. If he does, man, I will be shook. I think we all will.
Tim Urban in the chat also agrees with the pick, and he says Kev has been working on his wrestling as well, and he says love Kev. So Tim in the chat's with you. So that wraps up your draft. It's back up to me now. I'm not used to picking second. It is my pick now, right?
Yes. All right.
Yes, back to you.
So – I was going to go the opposite way on this fight, but Reed typing in the odds the wrong way and me not double checking, to be fair. Now the odds are reversed, and then now I'm on the other fighter. So I'm going to go with the underdog in the women's fight that we talked about earlier. I'm going to go with Marina Moroz.
Wow. So the fight we were hyping up before, we got two-way action.
We got a little head-to-head.
Yeah. Okay.
I was going to bet against her because I thought she was the big favorite, but she's the underdog. And one of the reasons why I was going to bet on the underdog, no matter who it was that I think this fight should be a lot closer to pick 'em. Marina Moroes landed 139 significant strikes in her last fight. She's significantly increased her output. She's not the most accurate striker in the world. Striking accuracy only 31%. But if this fight stays standing, and I think it will, I think it's kind of one of those power against volume fighters. I'll go with a volume fighter that's a big underdog. So she is, like I said earlier, I think we had the odds in our sheet flipped on this one. Right now at WinBet, she is the plus 155 underdog right now at WinBet. So I will take Marina Moroes. I'm going against her, Reed.
Okay.
Also, to be fair, she's Ukrainian. She's got to be fighting with some motivation this week.
Absolutely.
It's true.
You can't rule that out nowadays.
No, definitely. That definitely will fire you up more, you know.
Has to. So that's my draft completed. Reed, your final pick.
Okay, so you went against me. I'm going to go against you. I'm going to go Rafael Dos Anjos.
Okay, one of these.
This is probably the most underrated lightweight, and Eric, you could speak to. I feel like he kind of isn't in that conversation, but has as much respect as anyone in the division and is as skilled as, I wouldn't say as anyone in the division, but he's right there. He's an elite in the lightweight division. I think Moicano, admirable that he's coming in here on short notice and all, but I think Dos Anjos, this is just another victory for him as he tries to make one last run at the belt. So minus 165, Moicano has some submission upside, but I don't see it. I think Dos Anjos has him covered. I think that this is a little short for him, to be honest.
Yeah, I can agree, man. I definitely agree with everything you just said. I don't see – I see RDA taking – RDA is very, very overlooked by fighters and people in general. And it's also because he hasn't fought since what? Since 2020. It's been 2 years now since he's fought. So, I mean, it's a lot of time to prepare, a lot of time to train, to get yourself better as a fighter. And considering how RDA is just a workhorse, you know, he's always training, in my opinion. He's one of those guys, you know, and he's fought some of the best. So I just don't see anything that where if his floor hits the feet, RDA is going to take control of the entire fight.
Now I will say I have a bad habit of just betting against old guys because I just think like they're old, they're eventually just going to fall off. I fell to that victim a couple weeks ago when I picked against Andrei Arlovsky and he won for like the 80th time in his career. He's like 60 years old. He's still winning in the UFC. He's not actually 60. No disrespect to Andrei Arlovsky. But that's one of the reasons why I went against Rafael Dos Anjos. He's 37 years old. So I just can't quit my betting strategy of just going against old guys.
Okay, but, you're calling him old? I'm 40.
Old in terms of UFC age.
Oh, he's definitely
especially,
old.
Especially for the lighter weight classes. Nowadays.
Yeah, I mean, you got Jim Miller, man, coming off two TKOs. So,
that's true.
You know, yeah, I don't know. Don't overlook the old guys too much, you know?
Yeah, maybe I should retire that strategy and stop going back to it.
It's like changing from Jim Miller.
Just completely throw Jim Miller and Andrei Arlovsky, just between the two of them, have completely disproven my strategy. Okay, Amy, last pick of the draft.
Okay, I realize now I don't like the order that I made. I should never do that again. Because now you guys picked everybody. nobody picked Ludovic, right?
I do not believe so.
No.
Okay, that's who I'm taking. I think he knows he's got to win this fight or he doesn't have a job. He's changing weight classes.
That'd be three straight losses.
Yeah, he's changing weight classes. Plus, I thought from the very beginning that there was something special about him when I saw him on Tough. I don't know why it hasn't like come out yet, but I think it's time. It's like that. I feel like it's the moment, you know?
Yeah, no, he has, like I said, I was pretty high on him coming into the UFC. He had a crazy knockout in his first knockout victory in his first fight, dropped two straight. So again, we're running that short notice thing. And I feel like that's kind of been the theme of our draft as I just faded one, but I don't hate it as an underdog shot.
I think Amy does have a point though. You know, he is coming off two losses. And so if he gets one more, he's out. So I think that's going to encourage him even more, but he's also taking a short notice fight, you know? So that's going to play a role in this fight somehow. I think that if he just makes it out of that first round, it'll discomfort Smith's confidence, considering that Devontae Smith kind of seems to wear out after the first round. If you look at his last fight with Malarkey, he was just kind of slowly wearing down once he got to the later rounds. So I think he just needs to take him to the later rounds, you know, kind of and keep him on his back foot, keep him against the cage, kind of dirty box him, tie clench him as much as he can, and we'll see what happens, though.
We're going to send it over to him so he knows what to do.
I mean, that was my game plan. I'll be open about it. I was just going to keep him on his back foot, walk forward like I always do, and just, you know, take him to the later rounds. He wears down, so that's going to be his biggest weakness, you know, and I'm not – it doesn't seem like he's changed. He doesn't have much time to change just due to the fact that he finishes a lot of his fights in that first round.
Mm. Nice. So all three of my picks, I'm going against someone else. I think two of my picks are going against Reed. One of their picks is going against Amy. So
that's you always do that. I feel like you love to go head to head with people.
It makes it fun.
Yeah. So speaking of which, let's take a look at our picks now that the draft is complete.
Yes, we got like a balanced board here.
Yeah.
So we went all favorites first round, all underdogs second round, and then we went two each in the final round. So nice balanced board there. There you go.
That is true.
Final round was Eric took Kevin Holland. I took Marina Morose. Reed took Rafael Dos Anjos. Amy took Ludovit Klein, I believe.
Yeah.
So there you go. That's the draft. Eric, thank you very much for joining us. I really appreciate it. Hopefully that we see you back in the Octagon again here soon.
Amy, thank you so much for having me, inviting me to this. I've been having a blast. I do apologize about my dog in the background, guys. I see someone in the comment section talking about it. But no, I had a great time, guys. This was really cool. I can't wait to see the results. And then hopefully I can take a 3-0 also. We'll see what happens.
I want
to
see the dog. Can you bring the dog in? Or is it too
absolutely.
Crazy?
No, right, I'll bring it. Give me a second.
I should have said that in the beginning. Sorry, guys.
And then once we close off with Eric here, let's talk a little parlay action. Something we haven't discussed on the show before, but we'll talk a little. Maybe we'll each give out a quick little parlay to close the show, and then that'll wrap things up. So,
is it weird if you pick in your parlay opposite of what you picked in your draft?
No, not at all. No.
It's kind of a hedge.
Yeah, I mean, I think at least the way I see UFC is there's so much variance. I think Eric could even speak to this. Is you could have like you know. Underdogs win all the time, I think more so than other sports, to be honest. I think there's a lot of variance. So throwing in a crazy underdog wouldn't be that crazy to me.
All right. She got out of her little kennel, and I didn't realize that. So that's probably why she was going crazy. This is Callie, by the way.
Hi, Callie.
Well, very cute, though. So worth the barking in the background. Yes. So, yes.
Added to the roster of pets that have made appearances on this show.
Yeah, there you go.
Appearance, I believe.
Oh my god!
She just wants to hang out. She should have drafted.
I know. Huh? I should have just put it on my lap, but she'll just keep biting my mic and completely destroying me. So, but
thank you so much for joining us.
Absolutely. Yeah. You guys have a great rest of your day.
Right, best of luck, man. Thank you for coming on.
Absolutely, guys. Thank you.
Awesome. That was great.
What a finish.
Way to end it too with the ball. Amazing.
Reed, do you have any pets? By the way, you don't have any pets, do you?
I have a pet at. Back home in Jersey with my family. My girlfriend has a dog, though. Maybe I'll bring him out. He happens to be, like, not talking smack, like, the cutest dog of all time. He's a micro burner doodle. He happens to be the cutest alive.
Yeah.
So maybe I'll make sure one Wednesday she'll come over with the dog, and I'll make sure he gets on. Winston's his name.
Aww.
Perfect. I think I know someone with a dog named Winston. I think my sister's dog might... Anyways,
moving on. Yeah.
just completely lost my train of thought thinking about dogs for a second. All right. As I mentioned quickly, I mean, we're over an hour now, so we don't have too much time here. But do you two have any parlays that you have circled? I think I have one right here if you want me to go first or if someone else is ready, they can go.
I've got one.
All right. Let's hear it, Amy.
I've got Kevin Holland, Nurmagomedov, and Colby Covington. Sorry.
Okay.
So the easy money, those are three lock winners.
Are those the three biggest favorites?
Probably.
Colby's -320. Kevin Holland, yeah, it's got to be -300. Yeah. I'm just going to look up to see what the odds are here for the parlay. He's at least on our sheet. It has -610. So that's just over even money. That actually seems like a fantastic parlay.
Yeah, exactly.
Three favorites of like -300 longer odds, and you're still getting just over even money.
So what do you – okay, as I don't know a lot about betting, if I put $100 down on this parlay, what do I win?
$100. I'll tell you exactly what you'll win. You would, so even money, right? Yeah, but the exact odds are a little bit over that. So you would win a profit of $103.69.
$3. Okay, so also.
No, you'd win a profit.
Okay, that's what I was going to ask. Sometimes I don't know if I'm like, is that on top of like getting my money back that I spent?
No, so the total you would be handed would be $203.69.
Nice.
Okay.
I think it's a pretty solid bet. So I'll go next. I'll go two underdogs, and I guess I was looking for a third underdog to throw in, but I just couldn't get there with any, and I'm trying to – this – I, you know, Ian, you may know more from experience, but you know when you, like, you have a number in your head and you're like, it has to be this or else I'm not going to bet it?
Yeah, like, of course.
This parlay came out my way. It's 8-1. I'll throw some pizza money on it. It's Barboza. It's Ludovic. Plus one. And so those two underdogs and Jalen Turner minus 160. That's a little bit north of 8-1. I see those as two live dogs and a favorite that I think should be a little bit closer to like minus 200. So that was kind of like an easy three leg parlay that I think should be a little bit less than that. I see a little value on that.
Do you have what the odds are in front of you?
I have plus 816. So a $100 bet would profit you $816.
There's different kinds of parlays you can do here. You can do ones like Amy that are just parlaying a lot of favorites and getting a decent payout, or yours, which is that's a risky one.
First of all, don't throw $100 on that. But second of all, I'm just saying if you want something with a big payout, I think that those three are a little underrated in the line. I think they should be a little bit better than that or shorter than that.
Was yours three fighters?
Yeah, I went three. I feel like for a parlay is like a strong.
Yeah.
That's where we should go.
I went four.
Even better.
Well,
I'm excited now.
Mine's pretty straightforward. Mine is every favorite on the early prelims.
Okay.
So you got Dustin Jacoby minus 190, Devontae Smith minus 170, Tagir Ulanbekov against Tim Elliott minus 225, and then Umar Nurmagomedov minus 610. And that comes out to just over 3-1. So if you put $100 on it, you probably for the sake of it, if you put $10 on it, that would come out to a profit of $30.76.
So I like that. We went three different types of parlays also, which is always – it's nice as we introduce that segment.
I like that. An aggressive one, a conservative one, and then a kind of in the middle one. Perfect.
A progressive one.
Any final comments before we close things off? How do you two feel about your draft? Anything else you want to talk about for this weekend's card?
I just hope everybody makes weight and everybody has fun. Yes.
That's all that matters, right?
everyone stays safe. No serious injuries.
Yeah.
No, I'm really pumped for this card. I think there's a lot of exciting fights littered around it. And obviously this Covington-Masvidal fight, I think as we get closer, is starting to gain a lot more steam in terms of like this hatred and all that stuff. And honestly, I think that's kind of cool that like they actually hate each other and they want to kick the crap out of each other. That's how I see it. It's kind of cool because usually these guys have a lot of respect for each other. I hope that they really get after it. So yeah, I'm pretty pumped for this.
As the Diaz brothers would say, they're not selling us wolf tickets.
It's a red panty
night. Remember that quote. There's a Conor McGregor quote. Any other quotes? Reed, do you have a quote you want to toss in that's relevant?
No, not off the top of my head.
I mean, I think it was Nick Diaz that said the wolf tickets line, and I had to Google what he meant by wolf tickets. Classic. I missed the Diaz brothers.
Great draft.
I'm very confident. I need to win because if I don't win now, then what's going to start happening is it's going to be, when is Ian going to win a draft? So I need to get the first win out of the way. I'm very confident in my draft this weekend. I think I can do it. But if that's it, my friends, thank you, everyone, for watching. Subscribe to whatever YouTube channel you're watching it on. Give us a like, all that good stuff. Share it with your friends, family. I think that's it. Best luck with all your bets. Enjoy this weekend's UFC 272, and we will see you next week. There's a card next week?
Yes.
I assume so? Yes. Yeah. So, yeah, we'll see you next week.
Know more than me.
I just assume we'll there always is.
Yeah, I think there is a very long stretch of consecutive.
And I'm excited. I'm going to be going to Singapore for one championship. So that'll be a fun thing to talk about from Singapore. I'll do a show from Singapore.
And there is very a fight card next week. Thiago Santos in the main event.
Yes, that's right. All right.
All right, guys. Talk to you then.
Good luck with your bets, everyone.